As you've probably figured out, today is Christmas in October. Welcome to a Mission Sunday here at Grace Bible Church. It's our opportunity to give a Christmas gift ahead of time enough so that they can get it in time for their Christmas season. So thank you for participating in that today. It's also an opportunity to learn about our theme and hopefully to grow in our love for others and reaching out with the gospel. The harvest is plentiful. Pray for workers, Luke 10:2. Title of our message today is, Joe Potter will be bringing that, and also you'll see Mark and Terry Barnes will participate in a great way. But pray for workers. How can you help, and how can I help, really? Joe and I just returned from a trip to West Africa 2 weeks ago. It's pretty fresh on our minds, you might think. We visited our daughter Heidi and her family, who are missionaries in Ghana. We flew into the capital of Burkina Faso, which is Ouagadougou. Now, let's say that all together. Ouagadougou. Okay. Affectionately known as Ouaga. A little bit easier to say that. It's a French-speaking country. We saw many people along the roads, many, many people, women, men and women on motorcycles dressed up in their work suits. I don't know what they do when it rains, but anyway, they were all over the place. We met people who were kind to us and friendly, but how many people really knew the Lord Jesus and his way of salvation? Who's going to tell them? Who will learn the language in Burkina Faso, learn French, to be able to communicate with them more than we and merci and, you know, boy. It's pretty sad for some of us, I must admit, but who's going to learn these languages and be able to speak with them heart to heart about Christ and the gospel? Who will spend the years required and the labor of love needed to reach them? We hope that some of you and some of us will feel compelled today, you know, to be a part of reaching out to the nations. We hope everyone here will support missionary work around the world and, you know, do that with your finances and with your prayers. Be praying, how will God use us to, you know, reach people in our local ministries, but don't forget about the foreign fields too. We are praying for the people in West Africa. We know some of them. We know unsaved people in West Africa. People that came to visit us while we were there in Ghana and brought gifts and food and guinea fowl. That's quite a welcome. I mean, when they bring you a guinea fowl, it's alive and it's looking at you and they hand it to you. But it's a gift that costs them a lot to give to you with love, but still some of those don't know Christ as Savior. So one thing to remember, there are a lot of believers in West Africa, and we worshiped on Sundays, you know, with those believers. A little different. Don't get the videos of us, especially me, dancing. I'm afraid it would not do honors to the normal dancing. But anyway, we worshiped with them. There's so many to be reached, though, even though many do know the Lord. One Friday morning in their village, it was a Muslim holiday celebration. And that day later, they'd be offering rams as sacrifices. I saw hundreds of Muslims bowing toward Mecca in the east on this day of celebration. Most Muslims, though, do not believe that Jesus really died, that he really died for our sins, that he really rose again. And I told a Muslim on the plane flying back who had a great conversation with him. He did not trust in Christ. He's heard a lot. But really, he said, you know, we don't believe that Christ died. Why would God allow the prophet to die? And I said, without the death of Christ for our sins and his resurrection, Christianity doesn't exist. It's so pertinent to know that. So anyway, they don't believe in the forgiveness of sins. That's one of the hallmarks of our faith. We can be forgiven. So do you see the need to reach these people with the gospel? And I hope that everyone here has come in knowing Christ as Savior. If you don't know this good news, that Christ died on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again to pay for all of our sins. If you've never trusted in him, put your trust in him alone as Savior. We pray that you would do that today. Romans 5:8 says, "But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What a great thing that there is forgiveness of sins through Christ. We don't have to bear the weight and the guilt that plagues us and has plagued us in the past. We can be free to worship Christ and know our sins are forgiven and we have life eternal with Christ. So that is the good news of the gospel. So welcome. I have a special guest. Keith, would you come up? Let's see, maybe we'll stand over, right over here. Don't fall off, though. Your parents would not like that, and neither would we. So, I have some questions for Keith. Let's see. So, yeah, stand as close to that speaker as you can. I don't know if you all can see him. You probably can't. Sorry. What did you do special this summer?
I went on a mission trip to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, okay. And when you went on this trip, well, why did you want to go on a trip?
I felt like some people up there just needed to know Jesus.
And you wanted to tell them?
I just saw, we saw a lot of people who were homeless, and we thought they just needed Jesus. They should feel this love.
Yeah, we have a couple of pictures, too. Here's the group that Keith went to. This is Keith Renninger. I don't know if I said his last name, but anyway, this is the group. And then he had some special friends. If you can go to the next slide. That tells you a little bit about Keith, doesn't it? You know? Enthusiasm. So that's great. So how did you serve and help others?
Our main outreach was the kids. So we helped out with a church's kids outreach, and we also threw a sports camp, and we helped out a lot there.
Oh, great. And what did you like most about the trip?
Well, my job at the sports camp, because I was supposed to help excite kids, and and I had to dress up and dance and give them, like, piggyback rides.
You had to dance,
so it was
too
exciting.
So would you encourage others to go on a missions trip if they were able to go?
Yes, I would.
Good.
Because it's very, like, encouraging to go. It just feels super good to show people the love of Jesus Christ and see people say, I want to have Jesus.
That is great. Let's give Keith a hand. Thanks, buddy. When I saw his heart for missions, his heart to help others, you know, we thought we have got to interview him and let some of that enthusiasm rub off. So right now we have Joe Potter. If you can come up, please. And Joe's a longtime friend of ours, and the Barnes, too. Our relationships, close relationships, date back to the 70s. So we've known each other for a couple years. So anyway, so Joe, thank you.
That was great. That was really great. Reminded me when Ken and Joe were in Africa, they probably didn't hear this, but most missionaries around the world close to the jungles hear this. You hear that? Every night you hear that. And you go to sleep hearing that. This is my pet frog. It just reminded me so much of the Crapos, the big frogs down in Guyana. We call them toads here, I think. But they don't seem to make the same sounds. So I just thought I'd bring that along to play with once in a while. I guess Ken went, oh, there he is. Okay, thought he went down somewhere. Friends, as Terry was reading, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the end times. We often think about how that it's because of the evil that was taking place that makes us like them. But one of the things that Jesus emphasized too is the fact that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, giving their kids away in marriage. They were just living life like normal, like Noah wasn't even preaching until the day that God shut the door. Then they suddenly awoke too late. What a sad time for those folks. Too late. What are we supposed to do? Well, I have a short video to give the big picture. So, Logan, if you'd start the video, dim the lights, we'll be all gone.
The very notion that there even is such a thing as full-time ministry, as we call it, I believe is an insult to the body of Christ. It is an insult to you, the people of God. How many times have I heard pastors or missionaries say, how many times have I said things like, I was called to full-time ministry when I was 22? As if it's some intermediate step between God and you common people in the pew. You know, there are not two classes of Christians. Those who are called to ministry and you folks are called to nothing. No, you are called to full-time ministry. I wish we could wipe from our vocabulary this thing that puts pastors and missionaries in full-time ministry and everybody else not. Paul said that God gave apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for what? The work of ministry. Do you think he was only talking about the 30 minutes a week that you teach a Sunday school class or park cars out there? No. Our job is to equip the whole body of Christ to minister 168 hours a week. God has awakened us to the reality that we need the whole body of Christ to reach the whole world. If 60% of the world, people like me, can't even go to anymore on a religious worker's visa, and that's where many of the least reached peoples on earth are living, then we need to engage the whole body.
So, Matthew 28. Turn in your Bible there to Matthew 28 for a moment. Verse 19. We all have the same calling. Did you get that? From the pulpit to the pew, we all have the same calling according to Jesus. Let's see how I can find that. Matthew 28, 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. And as you probably know, it means, therefore, go and keep going. And as you're going, be making disciples, baptizing them as you go and make disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always up to the end of the age. So there's that continuity that Jesus is talking about there. Go, and as you go, be making disciples that will obey me. So as he said that to the disciples, then the disciples went to the different countries in the world to tell the people the same thing. Those same people are required to continue this command right up to you and me. I remember sitting over here when I looked at my wife and I think it's time for us to go. It's a precious time. That's what God wants. We all have the same. It's not like a special missionary calling. We have gifts that we do well, but the calling is the same regardless of the gifts. Check it out. Continue on. I remember Terry and I, as missionaries, when we first started, we would travel around the country to share with people, churches, about Guyana. And one of our favorite things to do, besides going to Dairy Queen, one of the ladies in the missions team put together a little calendar with Dairy Queen on it every so often. And so the kids would just hold on to that calendar and see if today's the day we go to Dairy Queen. And she paid money for it, too. So besides going to Dairy Queen, one of our favorite things is to find a creek or a stream and throw rocks into the stream and try to skip them. You ever do that? Skipping rocks? It's great fun. Well, I think us as missionaries, I think us people here, right here in our church, in our classes, I think that we are making ripples for God. In the preaching, Sunday school, youth, the Brit House in the evening. We're making ripples in these people's lives. We're making impact with God in these people's lives. Bear Creek Elementary, the young ladies, young men, discipleship, and all the counseling that takes place and meeting together. We are a seedbed of believers. We have many new people coming in that are trusting in Christ and starting to grow. Now, my thought is this. We need to be intentionally discipling the people that we're building relationships with. Whether it's Lee in the choir, whether it's those great people that spent 30 years, not in jail, but 30 years here working with our young people in Sunday school and Awana and clubs and things like that. They're influencing future missionaries. They're influencing future disciple makers, pastors, worship leaders. They're making ripples. But my thought is to be intentional about it. Plan on doing it. Don't just be friends with the kids at Brit. Find out where they're at. Help them to pray with you, to read their scriptures, to know how to face temptation, to go forward, to be intentional. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 28. Intentionally do this. All of us here, not just here in church, but 24/7, we need to make the right choices that are in line with God's word. I tried to make the right choice for being in line with Guyana, you know, bright socks, black shoes, shirts untucked. It's an Izod, it's an alligator shirt, but it really isn't an alligator shirt. It's like Oakley instead of Oakley. That's the mission field. That's the foreign field. That's everywhere down there. So, people, we need to make the right choices according to God's word in the majors that we have at school, our choice of majors, at school itself, our jobs, the right choices with our family, with the church, with our neighbors. All of this we need to do intentionally because of God's call on our life. He doesn't call on the phone or text. It's right there in the Word. Just like Noah was right there in their face 120 years. They have it. They're responsible for it. We need to have compassion for them, even if they kick us in the teeth. We still need to have compassion for them. Or if they're less hostile, but just don't care, or take that track and just rip it up into tiny pieces. I've seen it happen. I've been there. I'm like the insurance guy. Do this intentionally. Hopefully, this is what's happening here now. But I want you to know this. This is not where disciple makers should die, here at Grace Bible Church. Some should, eventually. But we all need to be under that impression that God may want me to go to the mission field. Make the right choices so if I go, I can do it. He doesn't want life to be the same way until he comes back, like the people of Noah. He wants us to make some decisions that will make us take that step and say to our spouse, honey, I think it's time. I had been working on that choice a long time. I had to get out of debt first. Big problem when you're young. But as I did that and we got everything else done, God helped us. Make the right choices. Follow through with it. Don't die here. There's a local commission that's right here. That's good. Go. Make disciples in our ministries. Go. However, as we qualify for disciple makers here, we need to lift our eyes to the bigger picture. Now look around. How will they hear? What will I sacrifice to make him known? Christ sacrificed all for me. What are we going to do for him? Pray for the harvest. Help wanted. People need Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. Where are our workers? Singing here worship songs? Being brave enough to raise our hands? That's good, and I don't want to make light of it. But at the same time, we need to get outside and do the same thing for the people at work. I praise God for the careful, orchestrated, and careful plans that our worship team makes. And I'm challenged and encouraged by that. But if we stop when we walk out the doors, it's not good. We will be confronted by God. And I'm grateful to do what they do here, I think, but they have to do it through 24/7, or it would be a fraud and they would get figured out. Right, Justin? They're good. Inspiring. Be intentional, just as they are. But don't stop here. Missions helps us go beyond the local commission and start partnering with Grace Bible Church's cross-cultural missionaries. A new thought for you. Let's take our personal professions or our careers to new heights. Consider this. Take our personal careers, our professions, to new heights. How? By becoming cross-cultural workers across the pond. Cross-cultural across the pond, in Europe, in Asia, take your job there. Be a disciple maker there. Get a transfer from the company you work with, perhaps, and start working in Italy or France or something like that. And live for Jesus right there. That's a big part of missions today. I know Crossworld does it. I know Ethnos 360 does it. I know the IMB, the Baptist with the Hans, they're doing it. I know African Inland Missions are doing it now. We're all seeing that God is working with regular people, not just pastors or missionaries, but regular people from the pews. We are able, qualified, and desiring to help. You can take your work overseas. Not everyone can, everyone should. But we all should think about it, pray about it, and ask God to show us someone, if it's not us, that maybe we could help them go. So, ideas, teachers, engineers, students, studying abroad, teaching English as a second language, startup businesses. Oh, wow, I would love to raise raspberries in the Balkans. I mean, you won't believe the mountains they have there, but I mean, also they have really good raspberries. And the people are unemployed because of all the wars that they've had. They don't know about that. So Crossworld started raising raspberries in the Balkans. It doesn't sound so hard. But you work with the people as they're working for themselves and getting paid. You're helping them understand that you don't just curse every time you cut your finger. You ask Jesus for help. And they start learning about God. Okay. To summarize, disciple makers from all professions, all different jobs and professions, bringing God's love to life, being a Christian in our behavior, our work ethic, our responsibilities at home, living 1 Corinthians 13. The whole commission for the whole church, not just the local commission. It's time to brush my teeth. Sorry. The whole commission, as we used to say, the whole enchilada. You ever say that? It used to be. Let's get together over some enchiladas with a missionary or a missions committee member and find out how you could be involved more in cross-cultural missions or in disciple-making missions in Asia, Africa, wherever. I close with an advertisement, another short video, okay?
Basically, most of the country hasn't been reached. My name is Grant, and I'm a teacher in Anuban Sukhothai School.
The government of Thailand really wants the Thai people to learn English.
So they've opened the door everywhere to native speakers of English to come in. Thousands of schools that need teachers now. And we're trying to provide those schools with quality teachers. We're not coming in subversively. We're not coming in using this as a quote-unquote platform. We are genuine teachers in every respect, and we are coming in telling people from the get-go who we are, why we're here, that we're here as representatives of Jesus Christ, that we're going to teach with our whole hearts and do that as representatives of Jesus Christ. It ends up being a very busy day. I go home exhausted, but knowing that today I was the only person that is their direct connection to the person of Jesus Christ.
We're expecting people to come probably maybe at most 2 years. You make an impact right away with with your peers and with the administration of the school and the parents of the kids. But on top of that, you get a salary to boot.
It makes you relatable because you work, and you work for a comparable wage.
It's a huge opportunity to make an immediate impact in a country that has great need.
If you know Christ, you can represent Him here.
Good morning, Grace Bible Church.
Good morning.
We're happy to be with you. Now, when I say the word missionary, most people's minds go to somebody who's trudging through the jungle or the swamps. They're going to remote areas to live with the people, to plant indigenous churches. They're going to teach the people and to translate God's word. That's the way it is with many of the missionaries around the world, especially with our organization, Ethnos 360. I'm practicing because I grew up my whole life under New Tribes Mission, and just recently we changed our name, and I usually start out with Nethros 360. Ethnos 360's thrust, their heart, their vision, is to see a thriving church planted in every remote area of the world, in every people group. We want to see that done, but you can't do it alone. That is not the only way that it's going to happen. This morning, Mark and I would like to kick off some of your preconceived ideas of what a missionary is. We want to toss off some of your thoughts of what a missionary has to look like or what a missionary's job is, because it takes a team of people to be able to reach the world for Christ. Thank you, Mark. Recently, the last few weeks, Pastor Tim has been reading from Romans 12. And I'm going to read a passage, just a little section from there, because it fits so perfectly with what we want to present this morning. Romans 12, verses 4 through 6 says, "Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another. According to the grace given us, we have different gifts." This morning, Mark and I want to kind of do a little lighthearted fun thing right now, a little skit with you, to help you visualize and see how that it takes a team to reach the world for Christ, a team who has individual gifts. I'd like to invite any children who are going to have a hard time seeing to come up here and sit in the first couple rows. You're free to come or sit on the floor in front of us. That's good, because I don't want you to be trying to stand and see. And I would like to have our volunteer, Mr. Jameson Solomon, to please come on up. Jameson's very brave. He's not quite sure what he's getting into right now. How many of you think, come on up, yay, one brave girl, yes, come have a seat right here. How many of you think you know Jameson Solomon? Almost every hand in the audience has gone up. You're going to see a different side of Jameson, because this morning his name has changed to Missionary Jameson. Let me change his name and let me give you an idea of who he is. Missionary Jameson was sitting in Grace Bible Church one day when some missionaries came to speak, and they challenged his heart, and he knew God was speaking to him about going to reach the unreached of the world, to the remote parts of the world, and he wanted to go. And so as soon as he was done with high school, he decided to enter Ethnos 360's Bible school. He went up to Waukesha, Wisconsin, went to Bible school there, and while he was in the cafeteria, he noticed this pretty young girl over in the corner. And by the time he finished Bible school, they were planning a wedding. He and this young lady, when they were finished with the 2 years of Bible school, went on to the Missionary Training Center in Camdenton, Missouri. There, he and his new wife began to learn how to break down a language, how to learn culture, how to begin to teach people the Bible when they have nothing to hang it on. So he began to learn the skills and the tools that he would take into the jungles of, guess what? He was called to Papua New Guinea. Good on you. So happy. So he finished his training. He spent about another 6 months traveling around the states, raising up his support. And during that time, two children came along. You're quite busy these days. They get to Papua New Guinea, and after a little bit of training time, they begin to get some partners, and they decide to go to the Bisorio tribe. The Bisorio tribe have never once had an outsider come in, a missionary come in. They've never seen the Word of God. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. So they have to learn the language, make an alphabet for the people, because they have some strange sounds in their language. And as he's doing that, he's now ready to begin translation. So we're going to pick it up right here. Now, because Jameson Solomon doesn't really know the language of Bisorio, we have given him a Bible in another language, and he just has to begin copying it to kind of translate the Bible. Now, if you were going to teach the Word of God and wanted them to know that Jesus loves them very much and he died on the cross for their sins, what verse might you start with, somebody? Oh, how did I know that? He has John 3:16 in his hands. Missionary Jameson, I want you to get this Bible translated quickly. These people have been waiting over 2,000 years since the death of Christ to hear this good news, and we need to get the Word of God into their hands, okay? Oh, dear. His family is living in a grass hut, and the bugs are crawling through it. And when it's the rainy season, it leaks, and the little fluffy stuff from the grass roof falls on him. So, Missionary Jameson, you're going to have to build a stronger house for your family with a copper roof and good walls. So, along with translation, he is now a builder. He also has got to buy supplies. They're running out of food. Uh-oh, you ran out of nails too. So you need to take a three-day hike over the mountains, down through the valleys, across the rivers, to the nearest town. Buy your supplies, come three-day hike back to his village. So now, along with translation, along with building, and along with getting your supplies, you find that your children are school age and they need to be homeschooled. So he now has actually three children, and so he is going to have to homeschool his children and stay busy keeping them learning. He's got to keep them up with their education. Every morning when he wakes up, the people in the village, they don't knock on your door. They So he would wake up every morning to this sound. He knows that when he goes out there, they need medical help. They've got malaria, they've got sores, they've got you name it. And so he's got to take care of their medical needs. Now, Jameson, I hope that your translation is almost finished. These people in Basodio only have a life expectancy of 56 years. They are dying. We need to hurry up and get this word of God. Oh, please don't fall down on the job. Now, what's the use of translating the Word of God if they can't read it? So every afternoon, he's going to have to teach literacy classes. Please pick up your jobs there. Thank you. He's going to have to teach literacy classes so they can begin to learn to read their language. So he's got to also, along with building his house, along with translation, along with going out for supplies, along with being a school teacher and a medical person, he has to teach them how to read. But he has to keep up his paperwork, his visa and his passport. The money that's sent from his home church goes to the capital city. He has to go down there and do his banking. So he has to, again, leave and take care of all of this. And then his translation is done on a computer. And when you're in those hot, steamy jungles, computers, it does a disaster on your computers. He's always trying to fix it. And he's also got to keep his letter writing up, his prayer letters for his home church, or they won't know how to pray for him. So you are finished, right? Church, what's Missionary Jameson's problem? He's too busy. He needs... Whoa, do you need some help? Okay. That was such a quiet, meek, nice call for help. All right. Let's get you some help. There are people in here that might be gifted, that God might be calling, or that have an interest in some of this. Is there anybody here who is a construction type person or would love to learn how to build houses? Raise your hand. Come on and let's get missionary. Come on up. Our special friends. Andy, come on up. Andy and Annette are our friends from Waukesha area, right where our Bible school is. In fact, Andy, he didn't know we were going to do this to him. He is in the construction and that kind of business, but he came on a team to Papua New Guinea and helped us once. That's where we met years ago, and we stayed friends. He actually still likes us. Who here is a pilot or would love to be a pilot, is interested in flying? I know somebody who's a pilot. You would like to be a pilot? Come on up. Come on up, and I would like you to take the backpack off of him. Now, instead of him hiking 3 days out and 3 days back, he now can radio out what he needs, and that that pilot can pack everything up, and a 20-minute flight can get it into his tribe. Who here is a school teacher? I know we got lots of these. Let's go. Come on up. Take the pencils and glue off of this guy, and you are going to be the school teacher in the mission school. In fact, that's what God called Mark and me to do. We were 21 years in New Guinea teaching in a mission school because we had a burden for those missionary kids. Medical people, I know we got lots of those. Or who would like to be a nurse or a doctor? Would you? Okay, right here. Come on. She would like to be a nurse one day. Come get the stethoscope. So now, Somebody else can take care of the medical for them, and if they have emergencies, they can actually radio to the big medical clinic up in the Highlands and get ideas of how to take care of the people. Who would be glad to teach the people literacy, how to read their own language? Chloe, come on up. Boy, look at all these young missionaries, potential help in the near future. Who likes money? And you're going to take care of, you're going to take, Fisher, you like money? Come on up. You are going to take care of the missionaries' money in the capital city. You'll take care of their paperwork, their passports, their visas, all the legal things to keep him in the country. And who are computer geeks in here? Probably lots of people.
There's one right back there in the black shirt.
Patrick?
Is that Matt?
No, way in the back. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I see lots of black shirts going on. Come on, take the keyboard off of him. You now are going to be flying to the different tribal areas to maintain these computers so that they can stay in that tribe and keep on working. I want you to take a notice. Missionary Jameson, what is he doing right now? Why? Because that's what he's supposed to do. And he has help. It takes a team. This is the way it is in Ethnos 360. It is not a one-man show. That the day of the tribal missionary going in there and doing everything on his own, we find it's ineffective. It takes years. When I was a child, it would take 20 plus years to get the Bible into their language. In the tribe I grew up with, that's how long it took. Today, they're doing it in 6, 7, 8 years. The difference? Laptops, but the biggest difference, these guys, the helpers that are there to help them. The picture is pretty clear. God gifted each one of us in the body of Christ in different ways, but for a specific purpose. It's very possible that the skills and the experiences that He has given you in life are the very ones, the very tools that He wants to use to complete the Great Commission. Could He be tugging at your heart this morning?
We're missing somebody.
Who? Did I have one left? Huh?
The
crown. Okay.
The biggest part of the team.
This is the biggest one. How could I ever forget? Each one of these are very vital and very important. They are the support team to stand behind this missionary. There is one left. I would like the elders of this church to come forward and stand down here. The reason being is this. Usually I just have a pastor come, but pastor's gone this morning, and our church works on an elder system. These elders are a picture of the body of Christ inside Grace Bible Church. We have missionaries that we support financially, but some of these missionaries probably most of us don't know. We need to stand as a church behind missionaries we choose to support. Every church has got to take it personally that not only are we going to write a check every month to be sent to them, but they need encouragement. When they receive, we have been on the receiving end out in the bush when our kids were little, that we would get Grace Bible's check about this time of the year, November, and it was almost the only money we had to go Christmas shopping, the little bit you can find in New Guinea. But anyway, we could buy something, and it wasn't the money as much as knowing they remembered us. They know we're out here. They care enough to do this. And that's what hit us. And we want to keep our people that have been willing to give their lives and give up everything. They've opened their hands and says, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my money, I give you my talents, I give you everything. But they sometimes cannot make it financially. They can't make it because they get discouraged. And getting a letter can sometimes mean the whole difference of that day going, Lord, is it worth it us being out here? And that letter encourages them. The church, the body of Grace Bible Church, we need as a church to stand behind them. Now, let me just mention one more thing before I sit down and Mark takes over. If, let's say, the school teacher gets really sick on the mission field and she has to rush home, we have that happen often. Somebody else can come take her place. We can take a couple dorm parents to come take little parts of her jobs and take turns teaching for her throughout the day. We can make it work. If the body of Grace Bible Church falls down, if the church doesn't do its job, the whole thing collapses, and this missionary cannot make it on the field. They're the vital one that really keeps the missionary out there. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything else I need to say? Thank you for reminding me of that. Okay. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. You guys can come bring your things and put them on the front bench there. And give missionary Jameson an extra hand. Thank you, guys. And Mark, I'll help him, and Mark will take over.
Missions is actually an extension of our local church. And if you want to know how important the church is, it's like Terry said, that in that team that we have as missionaries, if it wasn't for the local churches, we wouldn't even be on the field. If it wasn't for people who partner with us financially, we wouldn't even be able to go. Terry and I started this in 1984. We actually started when we got married in 1975. We, in our wedding vows, had that we would serve you, God, wherever you call us, wherever you want us to go, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was in our wedding vows. And we've never changed that in our lives. And even today, even though we're here in America, God is using us to raise up the next group of missionaries to go over. Maybe some of these young people that came up today will remember this. I want to end with this thought. Paul uses examples of the military many times in the Word. Matter of fact, in the second chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, he uses one that talks about endure as a soldier. And don't get tangled up in the world, endure as a soldier. And in doing that, I want to just bring something out. We talked about a team. I want you to think about soldiering. And as I say this, think about God sending missionaries. We are the Lord's army. Think about all the examples you could pick up from this one little example. We have a commander-in-chief in the military. The commander-in-chief gives the objective. And the generals carry out the objective by doling goals out to the people that are under him, the colonels. The colonels dole those out to the folks under them so that the frontline soldier can be effective in meeting the objective. Now, I want to read you some of those things that I wrote down that are needed to be an effective frontline soldier. You need leadership from the top all the way down. You need communication. You need transportation. You need ordnance. Can you imagine being a frontline soldier and, you know, you carry 200 rounds with you in your pack and you're in a firefight and you've already used 175 and there's another 100 people coming down the road? That's not enough ammunition. Guess what? The ordnance officer needs to make sure you're met with the needs you have so that you can meet the objective that you have been given by the commander-in-chief. So the support part of the military is a very close example to the support part of what we do as missions. Any breakdown in that logistics will cause the frontline soldier to lose the battle and possibly lose his life. You know, we are very similar to that. The only difference is that every Christian is a frontline soldier. Every Christian. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God said, go. Prince Philip, does anybody know who Prince Philip is? Who's he married to? Prince Philip. Queen of England, right? He was asked one time about the biblical mandate. And we heard that when Joe read Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go. You know what he looked? He just looked at the guy and says, what are the marching orders? That was his answer. What are the marching orders? The marching orders are go. Now, I could give you, you know, all the needs. Terry's already done that. But if you go on Ethnos 360's website, ethnos360.org, and you type in careers or possibility in short-term work, we have two-year stints for teachers, mechanics, administrators, musicians, doctors, dentists. We have tons of needs all over the world that we could put you in right away. If God is leading that way, we would love to do that. But think about this. We are very much like an army. And we are a team. We have a commander in chief that has given us the objectives. Now we need the goals to reach those objectives. My prayer is that there's somebody here that as you're listening to this today, it's Christmas in October, you guys are going to give money to send people away or send people money so that they can have it in time for Christmas. And like Terry said, sometimes it's the only Christmas we ever had was what came from Grace Bible in November. That and Grandma. Grandmas are good. She always sends it in August to get it to us by Christmas because it takes that long to get there. But I just want to share that the need is great. The need is great here. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. This is our Jerusalem. Let's start right here and think the uttermost parts of the earth. Will God use somebody? I'm sure he will. Is God pricking your heart? I hope he is. And if he is, it's not Mark Barnes pricking your heart. I am a nobody. I'm just a regular person that God decided to use years ago. Hey, a convicted felon. God used. If he can use me, he can use you. Would you pray with me right now? Lord, we thank you so much for this day, for this time, for Christmas in October, for the time we can give to missionaries to help them in a time of need. We ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Now, I've got a short video that I want to end with that will show you some of the opportunities for short-term work. And it'll just take a minute and a half, and then I think Joe and Ken. Okay. Thank you.
Lost souls stir your heart? Is the Great Commission the passion of your life? Is your dream the same as God's plan for you? Take hold of it. Explore the Associates Program with NTM, because it takes a team to see a thriving church for every people.